take some time and just be with Him. Just want to remind you of some of the things coming up. We're in December now, so it's Christmas season. We have our Christmas play coming up on the 18th. It's all pretty full swing. It's going to be great. There's some invitations out in guest services, so grab some of them, invite somebody. We have room for probably, we could squeeze between 225 and 250 in the room. So make sure you invite some people, come early, get them good seats, and it'll be a great time. I think it's going to be an amazing time. On our Christmas service is going to be on the 23rd of December. We've been doing that for a few years now, the night before Christmas Eve. Twas the night before Christmas Eve and all in the church. Here we are. And it's just that we're just going to have a nice family kind of night. We're going to have some Christmas carols. We're going to have a story for the kids. We're just going to have a short message. Then we're going to have some time to hang out in the cafe and just enjoy each other's company. And no rush because, like, I don't think the kids have school the next day. And we just enjoy our time together. So that's what's up for Christmas. And then Christmas Day, there's nothing going on here. On Boxing Day, our church service. And then again on the 2nd. So that's Christmas season this year. I can't get the scripture out of my mind that this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I keep hearing it, as I said last week. It can't be coincidence. Because I think, like, as we go through life, we need to understand that these days are God's days. They've been made by Him with purpose. That God made everything with a purpose. That nothing is without purpose. That we all, as people, have purpose. But God created everything, and everything has a purpose. This day today has a purpose. We're here today, gathered in His house with His people, and that's great. We get to be built up. We get to open our hearts up to His Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. I hope you're expecting God to do something in you today. So if you come here and you're kind of just showing up because it's Sunday and you think you should show up, I guess that's okay. I heard a story about this nun who was like, she's traveling kind of nurse, and she ran out of gas one day, and she went to the gas station was about a block up the street, so she went to the gas station and said, "Could I borrow your gas can?" And the guy says, "Well, our gas can's out right now, can't borrow it, it's not here." So she went back to the car to find the biggest container she could find and go get it filled with gas so she could fill her car. And biggest container she had was a bedpan. So up she went to the gas station, and she's walking back to the car with this bedpan, and a couple of the town guys are sitting on the side of the road eating their lunch, and they see her walking up in her habit and carrying this bedpan, and opens the gas thing on her car and starts pouring it in. And the one guy says, "I'm not a religious guy, but if that car starts, I'll be in church on Sunday." So sometimes we're here for the wrong reasons, and even if we are, God can still touch us. God can still move in our lives. God can still do something great in us if we'll let Him. But I hope that those of us that have been here for a while don't come to church just because we have to, or we think it's an obligation, or we just do it because the Bible says we should. But that we do it with a joy in our hearts to be together, with an expectation in our hearts that God can do something. It's a big difference between coming anywhere and leaning forward into it as versus just coming and just leaning back. God wants to touch your life. God doesn't want to waste your Sunday mornings. God doesn't want to waste any part. God has a plan for you today. If you're sitting in this room today and you need healing, just reach out to God. God will heal you. If you're here and you're lonely and depressed, just reach out to God. God will fill your life. He has a purpose for you today. And we have to walk into days like this with purpose. Even Monday mornings, we have to walk into with purpose. Feels like kind of tough getting up on Monday mornings, especially this time of year when it's so dark. We have to face them with purpose. God has a plan for today. We got to choose, though, whether we're going to walk into this plan or whether we're going to walk out. And here's the thing. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 to 19 is our theme verse for this series, Stuck. It says, "No, the word is right here and now. As near as the tongue in your mouth, as near as the heart in your chest. Just do it. Look at what I've done for you today. I've placed in front of you life and good, death and evil, and I command you today, love God, your God, walk in His ways, keep His commandments, regulations, and rules so that you will live, really live, live exuberantly, blessed by God, your God, in the land you are about to enter and possess. But I warn you, if you have a change of heart and refuse to listen obediently and willfully and go off, serve and worship other gods, you'll most certainly die. You won't last long in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I place before you life and death, blessing and curse. So choose life so that both you and your children will live. It's really important. I read that scripture in Revelation. It's the same. It's basically saying the same thing for New Testament people. It's saying you have a choice. You can either live God's way or your own way. Choose God's way. It tells you in this verse, choose life. It's not like leaving you up in the air. Should I choose life? Should I choose death? It's telling you, choose life so that both you and your offspring will be blessed. I know that there's people that are passionate about God, and you see that passion carry into their offspring. I see people that are lazy in their walk with God, and I see that laziness carry into their offspring. We've got to face life with plan and purpose. God has a plan. And if we're going to get unstuck, we got to do it on purpose. We got to change something we're doing. There's a story I was going to tell.
My wife told me I probably shouldn't tell it, so probably I shouldn't.
I'll just change it a little bit, because I don't want to hurt anybody, but I'll just change the story a little bit, protect the innocent. There's these three guys, they go to work together every day, and some of you have heard this joke, you've heard it before, you'll recognize it, but these three guys went to work every day together. This Italian guy, this Irish guy, and this Canadian guy. And every day, they would sit and eat lunch together. And one day, Mario, the Italian guy, opens his lunch pail and he says, "Ah, salami. I can't believe it. Salami again. I've been eating salami for 20 years, and I just can't stand it anymore. If my wife packs me salami tomorrow, I'm going to leave her. That's it. I'm done with it." So then the Irish guy opens up his lunch pail and he sees potato bread, and he's going, "Ah, potato bread again? I can't believe it. I've had potato bread for 20 years. And if I get potato bread one more day, I'm done. I'm leaving her. Make me a better lunch." So the Canadian guy, he's kind of inspired by these guys, and he opens his lunch pail and looks, and it's peanut butter sandwich. And he goes, "Oh, man, 20 years of peanut butter sandwiches. I can't stand it. If I get another peanut butter sandwich, I'm leaving her." So the next day, they open their lunch pail. And Mario opens his lunch pail, and it's salami. And he says, "Ah, I can't stand it anymore. I'm done with her. I'm leaving." The Irish guy goes, "Oh, no, potato bread again. I'm leaving her." The Canadian guy opens up his lunch pail, and it's like, 20 years of peanut butter? I'm leaving her, too. So after a while, the ladies get together to have a conversation and see, you know, what happened to their marriages. So the Italian lady says, "You know, if my Mario would have told me that he was sick of salami, I would have made him another lunch. I would have made him something else. If he'd have just told me he didn't like salami, I would have changed his lunch." And the Irish lady says, "You know what? If Patty would have told me he didn't like the potato bread, I would have changed it from being potato bread. I would have just given him whatever he wanted." And the Canadian wife, she says, "Don't look at me. He packed his own lunch." The thing is, a lot of times we're packing our own lunch and we're not liking it. We're not enjoying it. We're frustrated with it. We're bored with it. We're sick of it. We don't want to eat it anymore, but we just keep packing the same old lunch day after day, week after week, month after month. And we have a choice. You could pack a new lunch. You could get unstuck. You could get on with your life if you just decide to make a choice and change what you're doing.
I just think so much of this. I've been walking with the Lord forever. Like, it's been, I think I was 9 when I gave my heart to Jesus. I was, I told the story too many times, so I won't repeat it, but I know how much God changed my life. But I also know that walking with the Lord for these many years, 36 years, that there's been times where I've really loved my relationship with God and been really pushing into it, really loving it, really enjoying it. And there's been other times where I've just been flat out bored with it, flat out frustrated with it, flat out sick of it, and thinking if I have another day of this, I'm going to leave. But there's so much about packing my own lunch day after day. And just over this past couple of years, I would say since the last 6 years since Dad passed away, and life has changed so much for me, I just really have had to just keep digging into God's Word, keep growing, keep changing, keep, you know, it's just been a constant, sometimes battle to keep my head above water, but just sometimes just desire, because I don't want to get caught in just like doing the stuff but not really experiencing the presence of God. And over this past couple of years, and especially over this last year, and especially over this last 6 months, I just felt the presence of God so strong in my life. I've just been getting into His Word and enjoying His Word and living in His Word. I mean, this morning, it's probably like about 10 to 6, and I was coughing a bit again, but I was just like 10 to 6, and I don't like getting up that early. I'm not a morning guy. I just felt God calling me, you know, and saying, just come, let's talk together for a while. So I got my Bible. I do this thing, it's called I wrote it myself. It's just a little pattern I use for prayer, just to go through so I remember what I need to pray about, just so I can just keep focused on what I'm praying about. I went down to the basement and just opened up my Bible and just spent time with Him. And God just flooded my life with His presence and with His power. And He's calling me many times early in the morning, calling me many times late in the evening, because He wants a relationship with me. And the more I'm willing to do that, the more I'm willing to crawl out of bed early, the more I'm willing to stay up once in a while and listen, the more I'm willing to just take time, the more God's meeting with me. And my life is becoming more and more real about the presence of God. And that's not to be flaky or weird, but it's just to know that the God that I serve is with me. I really, you know, like when we started this year, I preached the series, God Is, right? And about the names of God. And God started just revealing Himself to me. And every day, just getting up and spending that time and just talking. As I pray here before the church, is how I start my day. Lord, I thank You that Your peace, I get no matter what comes to my life today, that Your peace and You fill my heart with peace. And I just start thinking about the peace of God and the presence. And just walk through that way. But God wants us to have that kind of a relationship with Him. I've had it both ways. And living just hand to mouth with God is kind of like horrible. When just going to Him whenever I need something, it's horrible. So I just keep getting on this kind of deal about just saying, let's get unstuck. I know I've been doing this a lot this year and talking about it, but I just feel God is calling us as His people to just press into Him, just to seek Him, to know Him. Because there's a lot about life that can be tough and challenging. There's a lot about life that can be up and down. But the presence of God brings you peace from all that. Gives you security in the middle of all that. Is a place where all of that just doesn't really matter, because you just know that you're in His hands. When I know that I'm a child of God, then if I'm in some money problems, then I'm not going to worry about the money problems as much, because I know that I'm the child of God. God's got what I need and He'll take care of me. When I get into some health problems, and I've had some, like, you know, just with this cold this year, and just, like, get to the point where I haven't slept in, like, 6 weeks for a while there, and just sometimes wake up in the night coughing and want to cry, because all I want to do is fall asleep and sleep for a night. But just knowing God and knowing that He's my Father and that He'll heal me, it just gives me comfort and peace in those times. And
And in those times when I was coughing and carrying on, I was just taking a lot of time. I couldn't sleep anyway just to be with God. And God did some cool things in my life through it. But we just need to get unstuck. We need to start moving along in our relationship with God. But God will not force that on us. God will not force us to be His people. God will not force us to love Him. God will not force us to spend time with Him. He wants us to make up our mind and take our choice. That's what the Deuteronomy is about. He's given us choice as a gift. It's our responsibility to use the gift for good or evil and then to live with the results of our choices. I think God brings times. And as I've started this series, I told you that I just really believe right now there's a time of God's grace in a lot of our lives, in the church right now, to experience His presence and His power. I think about that scripture in Acts 3 that says, "Repent and be converted so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." There are times where the skin between heaven and earth gets really thin, and we just can just experience God's presence very easily and very quickly. And I think there's those times because God knows we need them. God knows we need to be reminded that He's there and He's with us. And we need to take these opportunities just to spend time with Him. So as human beings, we tend to pull away. We tend to do our own thing. We like things to be routine, right? To have a routine. Because routine is like, it's easy to remember. I even told you, I have this prayer thing, this prayer kind of map that I use when I pray because it helps me to stay in focus with Him. But there's a lot of times when I'm praying that I just throw it out because the map is starting to get in my way. And I just need to spend time just talking to God. And as human beings, we love routine because if we can get in a routine, then it starts working. But the problem with a routine in a relationship is it makes relationships really boring. If I schedule, like every night from 5:30 to 6, some time in with Christine and say, okay, from 5:30 to 6, we're going to spend some time and I'm going to ask you all kinds of things that I need and you can ask me for what you need and we'll just talk and then we'll just go about our life. It makes for a bad marriage. For some of us, I guess maybe just that half an hour would be good. But it's not the way we do life. It's not that we just live life together. There's some days when I'm at work and I'm thinking about Christine and I just want to tell her I love her or something like that. I'll just get out my phone and call her cell phone and say, "Hey, honey, thinking about you and I really love you. Just want you to know." That's relationship. It's more than just a routine. And God wants us to have that kind of relationship with Him, but we get in these routines. So every once in a while, we just need to get shooken out of them. And I believe it's time right now God wants to do that. He wants to shake us out of our routine. Wants to shake us out of our rut. Wants us to give Him a little call once in a while in the middle of the day. And just tell Him we love Him. Just stop and give glory to Him and praise Him. Just stop in the middle of our busy lives and just say, "Jesus, You're really important to me." I just think it's so important for us to understand how much God longs to have a relationship with us. That's what the cross was about. It was about God reaching down in relationship to us so that we could be with Him. We settle so much for things like just religion, just routine, just rules. I think about like the Jewish people. They had God's law, and David talked about His law so much, how much he loved His law, how much he cared about His law, but they took the law and then they wrote a million other laws so that they can make sure that they never break the law. And I don't think that was what God had in mind. I think God just wants us to reach out toward Him in passion. God wants us unstuck so that we can live in a vibrant and growing relationship with Him. There's a lot of things that prevent that. We've been talking about that. If you need a review, you can go online and you can download it free at jubileefaith.ca. But I'm just going to go on with today with what we have. One of the big things that can keep you stuck is a lack of personal discipline. Again, we don't want to just get into routines in our walk with God, but there's a lot. We need to just have some personal disciplines in our life. In James 1, verse 22 to 24, it says, "Don't fool yourself into thinking you're a listener when you're anything but.
letting the word of God go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are, what they look, or what they look like. There's so many times that we look into the word of God and we see who we are. There's so many times where we'll be, I don't know, I've sat in a lot of services where God really touched my life, and I said and made a commitment to myself in those services. My life's going to change today. From now on, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And the next day, I don't do any of it. The next day, I think, oh man, when I lay down in my bed at night, I was going to do this different today. Well, tomorrow's a new day. I'm going to do it different tomorrow. And tomorrow comes and goes, and we don't do it different because we lack personal discipline. We lack the ability to just follow through on what we decided we would do. And in our walk with God, if we're going to really connect with God, we have to follow through. God has a beautiful picture of who we are in His Word. We talked a lot about that this year, about how He sees us. How God sees us as His people. How He sees us as His bride. How He sees us as His church. As we have Him as our Father. But we, so many times, do not reflect that image because we never do anything about it. We just hear it. We acknowledge it, and then we walk away, and we forget who we really are. We forget. It's our biggest problem. We forget things. And God wants us to remember. So we have to find ways to get discipline in our life. We often are less than successful in our relationship with God because we believe that our personality really isn't given to discipline. I lived that way for a long time. I used to laugh about it. I used to laugh about people that had personal discipline. I was like, God made me a bit of a clown, and I'm not going to wreck that. That's who God made me. And really, it held me back for many, many years as a person. It held me back because God was wanting to do something in my life, and I was never following through on it. I was just keep goofing around and goofing around and goofing around. God wants us to go beyond that. If we're really going to accomplish things for Him, if we're going to really live a life of personal discipline, then we have to stop dreaming and start doing. There's a lot of us have a lot of dreams, right? We dream, we wish, we hope. How many of you really just would love to have a better walk with God? I think that almost everybody would put up their hand. But a lot of us never accomplish that because we never make the first step toward it. In James 2:22, it says, you see that Abraham's faith and what he did worked together. His faith was shown to be genuine by what he did. The scripture passage came true. It says, Abraham believed God, and that faith was regarded by God to be his approval of Abraham. So Abraham was called God's friend. You see that a person receives God's approval because of what he does, not only because of what he believes. It's not just about what we think. It's not just about what we hope, but it's about what we do. It actually takes action to turn our dreams into reality, and it's our actions and our faith working together that bring God's approval. There's something we got to do. It doesn't just happen to us. It doesn't just run up and smack us in the back of the head. God doesn't do it that way. Faith takes action. So many times we look at all the things in our life that need to change, and we're so overwhelmed by it. Maybe while I'm talking today, you're thinking, yeah, well, like, I mean, I've said that 100 times. I've like said, I need to change. I need to do this. I need to do that. But there's just so much in my life that has to change. I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what to do because there's just so much. There's an old proverb that says, you know, the riddle is that how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is, eat it one bite at a time. And there's, you know, like you can't change your whole life today, but you could change something today. You could do something different today that would affect the rest of your life. I love John Maxwell writes a book called Today's Matters. Today Matters. And in that book, he talks about just daily disciplines and how to live our life. And he talks about the fact that if I could put a good day together today, and serving God. If I could just spend some time with God today, if I could just spend some time with my family today and build those relationships, if I could go to work and do a good job today, if I could be kind to my friends today, if I could be a good husband, if I could be a good father today, if I could do that for a day, that's great. I got a good day together because today matters. But if I could put 2 days together in a row, I had a couple good days, and if I could put 7 together in a row, I'd have a good week. And it's just putting good days together in a row that really makes our life progress. So take the elephant one bite at a time. I just think the biggest thing for most of us, that if we would just open our Bible every day and read, and before we read, just ask God to show us in the Scriptures what He needs to show us so that we could grow and become stronger in Him, that'd be the most huge first step any of us could take. That would be the best step that any of us could take in that relationship with God to move toward Him. It would just be the best. I know there's a lot of us and a lot of people in this room that have done that. They've made that commitment to take the Bible every day and read it. Well, that's a great first step. We need to do that. Don't give up. Start small and eat the elephant one bite at a time. The other thing that really stands in our way of a strong relationship with God is not being willing to pay the price for change. It's laziness is what it comes down to. And there's nothing worse than lazy people. I think, like, I don't want to be harsh and I don't want to be mean, but there's a lot of times that we just do not have a great life because we're lazy. There's a lot of times that we just will not do what we have the ability to do and the talent to do. We just choose not to do it. If we even just think about that we took the Lord's Supper today, and because of that, because Jesus died on the cross for our sin, we could have a relationship with Him. We could have communion with Him. We could have intimacy with Him. But so many people choose not to because it's too much work and it's too much bother. It's too hard. It's too hard. I'm not a morning person. I can't get up in the morning. Well, my life is busy today. I have, you know, and we have so many reasons why we can't build our relationship with God, but God wants us to. A lot of us have a good enough attitude. It's just like good enough. You know, like my relationship with God's good enough. I gave my heart to Jesus 40 years ago. And you know, if anything changes, I'll let Him know. And we wonder why we just keep struggling and why we just don't enjoy our life with God, because so many times we're just lazy. This is what the Bible has to say about that kind of person. It says, you lazy fool, look at an ant, watch it closely, let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. All summer it stores up food at harvest and stockpiles provision. So how long are you going to laze around and do nothing? How long before you get out of bed? A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do what you know. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life. Poverty, your permanent house guest. It's really important for us to realize how so many times, again, we're making our own lunch. We are making our own lunch. We are saying, I ask people all the time, you've probably been asked by me, how's your relationship with God going? And some people are like, well, I'm like, are you reading your Bible? Well, I'm kind of busy. I'm kind of, you know, whatever. But so many times, it's because we're making our own lunch, we're not enjoying our walk with God. We have to choose. We have to choose. We can't say tomorrow, I'm going to do it. Because sooner or later, there's going to be a time where we just can't do it anymore. And we have to store up in the times when it's good so that we can have something there in the times when it's not good. In Proverbs 13, verse 4, it says, the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the hard worker shall be made fat. Proverbs 26, verse 14 to 16 says, a door turns on its hinges, but a lazy person just turns over in bed. Some of us are so lazy that we won't lift a hand to feed ourselves. A lazy person says, I'm smarter than everyone else. I just think about this morning when God just kind of spoke to me to get up. I had a choice.
you have a choice. There's some days I choose to be lazy. I choose to, instead of turning on the hinge, I just choose to turn over in my bed. And God's calling us up. God's calling us to get out there and start doing life the way He called us to do it. We have to lift a hand to feed ourselves. And it's good if the Bible is in your hand when you do it. I mean, there's not too many people that forget to have food during a day. There's not many people that will let the day go by and not eat. Right? Unless there was just no food to be had. But there's a lot of us as Christians that don't take the Bible every day in our hands and eat. If we're going to grow strong as Christians, if we're going to grow mature, if we're not going to be starving and wondering what's going on with our life, then we have to pick up the Bible. We have to read. If we're going to get past being lazy, we have to make a change. In Acts 3, verse 25 and 26, it says, "These prophets, along with the covenant God made with your ancestors, are your family tree. God's covenant word to Abraham provides the text. By your offspring, all the families of the earth will be blessed. But you are first in line. God, having raised up His Son, sent Him to bless you as you turn one by one from your evil ways." God wants to bless the world through us. The only way He can do that is if we're full of Him. If we turn from our evil ways, one of the worst things that we could do, that the Bible calls evil, is laziness. It's not taking care of what we're supposed to take care of. It's being willing to let things slide. And if we're really going to be a blessing to the world around us, we got to take responsibility in our relationship with God and grow strong, grow healthy, grow full. We sing one song that, you know, like we get filled up to be poured out again. And that's what God wants us to do, is be filled. In Matthew 25, verse 24 to 28, it's the parable of the good, of the talents. And we all have heard, most of us have heard that. One was given 5 talents, one servant. Another servant was given 2 talents. Another servant was given 1 talent. So the guy with 5 went out and worked hard, and he turned a profit on it, made it into 10 talents. The guy with 2 talents went out and worked hard, and he turned a profit on it and made it into 4 talents. The guy that had 1 talent was scared. He was lazy. He buried the talent. And then when the master came back, he gave it to him and said, "I was scared because you're a harsh man." And here's what it says. I'll read it. The servant who had been given 1,000 coins then came in and said, "Sir, I know that you are hard to get along with. You harvest what you don't plant and gather crops where you haven't scattered seed. I was frightened and went out and hid your money in the ground. Here's every single coin." The master of the servant told him, "You're lazy and good for nothing. You know that I harvest where I don't plant and gather crops where I haven't scattered seed. You could have at least put my money back in the bank so that I could have earned the interest on it." Then the master said, "Now your money will be taken away and given to the servant with 10,000 coins. The interesting thing is that he gave back what he had been given. Right? He didn't give back less. He gave back exactly what he'd been given. But it's not what God wants from us. God wants us to give back more than what we've been given. He wants us to take what we have been given and become productive, to use the things He has given to us. In another version, it says, the master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why do you do the least? Do less than the least. The least you could have done was to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest." You know, we can do more than we do. There's some people that have decided, "I'm not going to step out. I'm not going to take a chance. I'm not going to work hard. I'm not going to seek God. I'm just going to try and get by." It was like my motto in life for a long time was, "I love flying by the seat of my pants." It was just great. I love the pressure of just the last minute. I love all that stuff. But a lot of it was an excuse for being lazy. And there was many times in that time in my life where my relationship with God was just like, whoa, and up and down and all over the place. And as soon as I started to develop some personal discipline, I'm not saying I never have down times, but I could just sense my life with God was going more solid. Do more than the least you could do. If you're one of those people who's lazy, It's very important to repent. Turn to God and start to live for something other than and bigger than just yourself. I think it's really important for us to realize. I've been reading this book by Finney, and he's just talking about how that God really, it's his heart to save lost people. Right? It's God's heart to reach a lost and dying world. And that God, really, in times when he shares his presence with his people, it's to stir their hearts for lost people. And the more people's hearts are stirred toward lost people, the more the presence of God fills our life. And there's so many times that we live life, though, for ourselves. We get just enough to get by on. We get just enough of God to get by on. We get just enough blessing to get by on. We get just enough income to get by on. But God's called us, as I read earlier, to be a blessing, to pour our life out for others. We sometimes even can be hard workers when it comes to things that we want or need. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to our relationship with God, we get lazy. And God wants us to turn to Him, to come to Him, to follow Him. In John 10, verse 9 and 10, it says, "I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for and will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they could have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." Don't just settle for having your own needs, Matt. Don't just settle for a mediocre life. Just believe God that God will give you more than enough so that you can not only meet your needs, but that you'll meet the needs of others. The last thing I want to talk about today that will keep you stuck is the blame game. There's so many times in our life where it's just easy to blame other people. I sit down with people all the time about marriages, about problems with kids, about problems, you know, in their finances. And there's so many times that people just choose to blame others. That they just say, it's this person's fault, or it's that person's fault. It's not my fault. It's their fault. And it's just like just this whole circle of things that just never ends. They just play the blame game. This started back in Genesis. In Genesis 3, verse 8 to 13, it says, "When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening," Adam and Eve, that is, "in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden. They hid from God. God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid.' God said, 'Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from?' And the man said, 'The woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me fruit from the tree, and yes, I ate it.' And God said to the woman, 'What is this that you've done?' And she said, 'The serpent seduced me,' she said, 'and I ate it.'" So they just passed the blame from one to the other, to the other. And instead of hiding, instead of blaming, if they would have just taken personal responsibility and said, "I ate from the tree." I often wonder, and I know a lot of scholars, Bible scholars, wonder what would have happened if Adam would have said, I'm gonna take the punishment for Eve eating from the tree. If he would have just said, "I'm not going to eat from the tree, but I'm going to take the responsibility for what's happened here." Wonder what would have happened. There's so many times we get an opportunity to play the blame game. There's so many people sitting in this room that even today, you're thinking when I'm talking about relationship with God and you're saying, "You know what, I'm really busy. I'm really in this busy season. It's Christmas. It's you know, whatever. I'm so busy. I don't have a lot of time. I guess I could maybe spare 5 minutes for God, or I could maybe spare 10 minutes because, like, my wife, she's got this list for me. It's Christmas time. I've got to put up the Christmas lights. I got to decorate the house. I got to do this, or I got to do that." Or my husband, he expects the meal on the table every day when I get home. When he gets home, and I just got a ton of stuff to do, chasing around these kids and doing this and that. Or my work is so busy at work right now, I just can't find time. We find so many reasons why we can't get a relationship with God going. But if we'll make it a priority, and if we'll take responsibility. One of these things I found, and this gave me so much freedom in my life, as long as I blame someone else, there's no power in me to change the situation. There's no power for me to change the situation. As soon as I say, I can do this. I might not be able to change that person or that situation, but I could change me. I could change the way I look at things. I could change the way I handle things. Then I have some power to do something about it. And as long as I take responsibility, I know what it's like to be busy. I know what it's like to have kids that are in sports. I know what it's like to, you know, have things to do. And there's a lot of times that I find excuses for not building my relationship with God or not doing some of the things I know I should do. But as soon as I stop blaming and I just take responsibility and say, I'm going to do it, I'm going to make time for it, things start to change. If you're sitting here this morning and saying, no way, not me, I take responsibility for my actions, and you say, I never blame anybody, ask yourself this question. How many times have you said, I'm sorry, but? As soon as you say, I'm sorry, but, you're blaming someone else. The responsibility, the way to change this, the way to actually get a hold of this, is to take responsibility for your own failures or actions. In 1 John 1, verse 10 to 1 John 2, verse 2, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My children, I'm writing this so that you won't sin. But if you do sin, Jesus Christ always does the right thing. And he will speak to the Father for us. Christ is the sacrifice that takes away our sins and the sins of the world's people. All we have to do, really, if we're going to live a life that's unstuck, is we really need to get our relationship with God straight. Whatever the reason, if you're a person that's lived in unforgiveness for all these years, you need to forgive. If you're a person that hasn't taken responsibility for your life and you've blamed other people, you need to take responsibility. If you're a person that has never been honest with yourself about things, then you need to be honest. No matter what it is that's kept you stuck, you need to repent. You need to say to God, I'm sorry for it. You need to change what you've done so that you can live a life with Him in His presence. Just each day, I just challenge you again each day to start your day with God. Start your day in God's Word. Start your day just giving yourself to God. Like, I think about the whole deal about daily disciplines, you know, is every day we get up, you know, I get up with Levi first at 6:30 and we pray together and we say, this is the day the Lord has made. And today, let us find your purpose in it. Lord, help us today to live in your purpose. Help us today to discover that. We read His Word for a while together. And just start the day that way. But there's other disciplines that you need to develop, but start with that and just start building a life with God. I don't want to sound like a nag, and maybe this morning I did, and I'm really sorry if I did, but it's so much in my heart to see you walk with God, to see you have a relationship with Him, that I just really can't get it out of my heart. So next week we'll start into some different kinds of messages, but I just really want to challenge you today to get unstuck. If that's you and you're stuck, in your relationship with God, if you really feel like, you know, it's just not progressing, I'm just not sensing the presence of God in my life, then it doesn't have to stay that way. It can change, but you need to make a decision to go after God. So let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you today, Lord, that you are, Lord, in love with us as your people. Lord, not that you need us, but that you want us, that you desire to have a relationship with us and us to have a relationship with you, to know and to be known. Lord, I just pray today that, Lord, even that your presence would settle on this room, even this moment. Lord, that our hearts would be connected to you. Lord, and that even in this moment we would decide, Lord, to live life full out for you, to follow you with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to overcome the obstacles that we've talked about. Lord, for those who have had trouble forgiving, Lord, that you would just give them the power and the strength as they seek you to forgive. Lord, for those ones, Lord, that have had just a struggle with being honest with yourself and taking responsibility, Lord, blaming others or whatever, Lord, that you just, Lord, even just empower them, Lord, as they turn to you. Lord, most of all, it's our desire, Lord, to have a relationship with you, to know you and to be known by you. Lord, help us not to get stuck in the mundane things of life. Lord, even though that's part of what we have to go through, part of life is just doing everyday things. But Lord, as part of our everyday life, we can know You. We can spend time with You. Lord, we can know what it is like to be in the presence of Jesus. So Lord, I just pray again, Lord, even as we take one step toward us, toward You, Lord, that You take a big run toward us, even like the prodigal son. Lord, as he came walking down the road, the father ran to him. Lord, I just pray as Your children, Lord, today turn toward You, Lord, that You'd run toward us. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.